Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, The Epistle to the Hebrews. Jacob ran away from his family problems in the land of Canaan to rebuild his life at his uncle's place outside Haran. Laban was a crafty man who got Jacob into even more trouble by marrying off Leah and then Rachel in return for 14 years of service. Jacob continued his folly by using their two female slaves as concubines, and these four women became the mothers of the men who would one day become the heads of the tribes of Israel. Obviously, four women vying for the affection of one man would lead to conflict amongst themselves and their children. Jacob served his time and left Laban with his large family and an equally large herd of cattle, angry at the man who had stolen so much time from him. This is a story about human weakness, divine intervention, and how God will turn all things around for good to those that love Him. This message is entitled, Running from Slavery. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, January 20th, 2013. And I'm glad that you have tuned in. I'm glad for those of you that are here today. Let's stand and let's go to God in prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that we can meet here today in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. And Father God, our doors are still open. We still have freedom to express ourselves and to clearly state that Jesus is the Son of God. And He said there's only one name under heaven where man can be saved, that's through Jesus Christ. We thank you we can still proclaim that today. Open up the word to us today. Help us, Father God, to read behind the lines and get understanding from your Holy Spirit that we might be able to live and live victoriously. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We're going to be talking about a portion of Jacob's life here today. And I want to lay a little background. Jacob was just like you and me when he lived on the earth. Probably at this time he was maybe 25 years old or something like this. He had no clue what the future held. He did not know that. He really didn't understand his own position as an heir to the promises of God had given to Abraham. He knew that God had given some kind of a promise. Abraham was rich in cattle and in goods and so on. Isaac was also rich, his father. And Jacob probably just wondered, maybe I'm going to be rich too and famous. But he didn't understand that he was going to be the father of 12 sons and one daughter, but that these 12 sons would be the heads of the tribes of Israel. Israel did not exist at this time. The term Jew did not exist. Jacob simply was living in the now, and he did not know what was going to happen in the future. Jacob now had simply burned the bridges at home. He knew that his grandfather, Abraham, had been told to go to the land of Canaan and to stay in the land of Canaan. But he decided, this place is too hot for me. My brother wants to kill me. It's not a good place to be. And he simply left. And I want you to hear this now. I want you to remember this. Jacob left the land of Canaan, the promised land. He exchanged that for a place as a slave. He went from freedom to slavery. And when he went, he did not even understand, I'm going into slavery. Because he was intent. His emotions was running him. His desires were running him. And Jacob at this time could not think of the future. He only thought about one person. And that was Jacob, and Jacob, and Jacob, and me, and myself. We pick it up now in Genesis, chapter 29, verse number 1. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of the well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled in a stone, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, put the stone again upon the well's mouth in its place. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be you? Who are you? And they said, Of Haran are we. And he said unto them, Know you Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. And behold, Rachel his daughter comes with a sheep. And he said, Lo, is it yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water you the sheep, and go and feed them. And they said, We cannot, until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. While he had spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled a stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel, lifted up his voice, and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother, that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. Now, even if you are running away from God, God will move and he will simply rearrange your life. I've been talking about the way that the children of Israel, they walked around in a desert for 40 years. And if we do get out of God's will, it simply means this, another lap in the desert, and he will simply put some more chains on you, and the yoke will be heavier until he has you where he wants you to be. Laban said to him, in verse number 14, Surely you are my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. He got a month free rent. Well, Laban was sizing him up. Now, Jacob must have been a good-sized young man by rolling away the stone all by himself. He was not a sick gentleman. He was strong. And I'm sure that Laban said, you know, I can get some work out of this man. Laban said to Jacob, because you're my brother, should you therefore serve me for naught, tell me, what shall your wages be? Now we had two crooks meeting. Have you ever met two crooks trying to do business? Laban was simply saying, you know, I'm going to see what I can get out of this man. And Jacob was simply saying, you know, I'm going to see what I can get out of this, my uncle. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. And the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed. That simply means she was cross-eyed. But Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. Here's the first deception now. Laban knew in his heart that Rachel was not the firstborn, and he was not about to let his older daughter become an old maid. He wanted to make money on her too. But he didn't tell Jacob and said, Jacob, you know, we're going to make a deal right now and here. You can have Rachel, but you got to get Leah first. He simply said, sure, Jacob, that's what you want. You can have Rachel. You work here for free for 7 years. Increase my flocks and all this good stuff. And I give you Rachel. And now, Jacob simply went to work. In verse 20, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and he seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. Now remember now, she was still a virgin. They were not together. They were not married. He simply looked at her for 7 years, and he worked hard. 7 years are up now, and Jacob said to Laban, give my wife, my days are fulfilled. They might go in unto her. In other words, I worked for 7 years. I want to get married. Let's have the party. Let's have the wedding. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. Now, in those days, when he had a wedding, the bride would be veiled. She would have over her head, she would have over her nose, and all you could see were just the eyeballs. And in those days, they didn't have electrical lights. They just had some dim oil lamps. And so it was kind of dark, and they had the food, the good time, the music, and so on. And then when the wedding was over, Jacob simply said, I'm going to go in and we're going to consume the marriage. And of course, the place was dark. So he found a woman in there. He assumed she was Rachel. I'm sure that Leah didn't say a word. And everything was just fine. And then came daylight. I can see this Jacob in bed there, you know, just lifting the cover. He says, wow! What are you doing here? I can see running out of the tent. Mad. Angry. And it came to pass in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this you have done unto me? Did not I serve you for Rachel? Wherefore then have you beguiled me? He was hot. Now, you see, when you're a crook, you're going to receive crooked deals. And Laban said, I can see him right now standing there saying, you know, Jacob, this is the custom in our country here. That, you know, you don't give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week. And he will give you this also for the servant you shall serve with me yet 7 other years. In other words, you stay with Leah, have sex with her for 1 week, fulfill her week, and then I will add Rachel to you. And you work another 7 years free. Now, what would you have done if you would have been Jacob? What would you have done? If Jacob would have been smart, he would have remembered this, that God said in the beginning to Adam and Eve, that, you know, a man shall cleave to his wife, there shall be one flesh. God didn't say to Adam, you know, you cleave to your wives, plural, and all of you will become one big flesh. He didn't say that. Jacob could have simply said, okay, I got a raw deal. I don't like what I have, but I do not want more trouble. I don't want another woman. He could have simply said, Laban, you can give Rachel to somebody else. But Jacob simply wanted what he wanted. And he said, okay, I work another 7 years free for nothing. And I take Rachel. Now, he got Rachel. And then we read here in verse number 30, he didn't wait for 7 years now. He waited 1 week. And he got Rachel. So now he had 4 women. He had Leah, Rachel, and their handmaids. These were concubines. So now he had 4 women. He went from trouble to quadruple trouble. And he went also in unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel and Leah, and served him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord has looked upon my affliction, how therefore my husband would love me. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord has heard that I was hated, is therefore give me this son also. She called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband join unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. She got 4 sons. And you see, in those days it was important for have sons. And she felt, you know, well, Rachel did not have any children. I have 4 sons for Jacob. Surely he will make me wife number one. But that was not to be. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, give me children, or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled to Rachel, and she said, am I in God's stead who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? And she said, behold, my maid, Bilhah, go into her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. Remember the story now, same story as with Abraham and Sarah. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went into her, and she conceived and bare Jacob a son. And then she had another son, Bilhah had another son. In verse 8, now Rachel said, with great wrestling have I wrestled with my sister. I prevailed, and she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave to Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a troop comes, and he called the name Gad. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a 2nd son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughter would call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. Now, I want you to think about this here. Was this God's perfect will? I don't think so. I think that God simply, his perfect will was that Jacob would have not stolen the birthright. And God could have simply, like he did with Isaac, his father, he could have brought him a woman from the family again. And this woman could have had 12 sons for the 12 tribes. And there would have been no strife. As you read these chapters here, there was strife. The two sisters competed with one another. Their children competed with one another. And then you had the concubines competed. And I thought about this. Why would God create the nation of Israel, which was kept in a later being, and as a foundation have the 12 patriarchs from 4 different mothers, 2 concubines and 2 wives? And there's another place in the Bible I'm not going to turn to right now, but God simply said, I did not select you because you were great, but I selected you because of my mercy. And God is simply saying, anytime you look upon the patriarchs of Israel, you can see human failure. And what God is saying is that no man is perfect before me. And I will take failed men and women and make something what I want and need from these men and women. Jacob never became perfect before the Lord. And if you turn to chapter 31, we read the following there, a couple of verses. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of all that which was our father's, he got in this glory. And Jacob beheld the count of Laban, and behold, he was not toward him as before. In other words, his uncle now eyed him with anger. And the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and your kindred, and I will be with you. There comes a time in your life when God is simply saying this. Have you had enough of pain? Have you learned enough what it costs you when you are rebellious? Are you willing to do what I really want you to do? And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field of his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance. It is not toward me as before. But God, the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. And if he said thus, the speckle shall be thy wages, then all his cattle bear speckle. If he said thus, the ring straight shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring straight. Thus God has taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass in the time the cattle conceived, I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring straight, speckled, and gristed. And the angel of the God spake to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now your eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle of ring streaks, speckled and gristled. For I have seen all that Laban does unto you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, and where you vowed a vow unto me. Now rise, get you out from this land, and return unto the land of your kindred. God simply told Jacob now, I want you to get back into the land I anointed for you. I want you to get back in the plan that I have for you. I don't want you to go backwards anymore. I want you to go forward. And I will be with you. Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, Is there yet any portion of inheritance for us in our father's house? They were not satisfied. They wanted more. I tell you what, Jacob did not have a happy family life. There was nothing but gripes and fights every day. I will not count to him strangers, for he has sold us and has quite devoured all our money. They were bitter. They said, Our dad sold us to you like slave women. And what has he done with the money? He spent it on himself. For all the riches we got to take from our father, that is ours. They got the cattle now and our children's. Now then, what have we got to say to you do? Then Jacob rose up and sent his son to his wives on camels. And he carried away all his cattle, all his goods, which he had gotten. The cattle of his getting, which he had gotten them in Paradam, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. Rachel did not believe in the God of Abraham and Isaac. She was still into idolatry. You got to understand now that the house God was very important. You touched the house God and you got killed. Even if you were a child, you don't touch the house gods. And she took them and they left. Now, I want you to hear this and I understand that. You can never leave your past without having simply prepared a way. You can never walk away from your past. You have to reconcile. You have to take care of everything. You got to make sure that when you leave and move into Canaan's land, that you don't have any burned bridges behind you. Jacob thought, he's down there shearing sheep. How do you sneak away? And you know, once we get over to Canaan's land, I'm out of the reach of Laban. Not true. Look at verse number 19 here now. Actually, we begin here now in verse 21. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward the Mount Gilead. And he was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. And he took his brethren with him, pursued after him 7 days' journey, and he overtook him in the Mount Gilead. 7 days down the road, Laban caught up with him. Laban now was angry. First of all, he felt that Jacob had stolen his house gods. Secondly, he had stolen his family, his grandchildren. And he was set to kill Jacob. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, Take heed, that you speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount. And Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. Here there comes the confrontation. And Laban said to Jacob, What have you done? You stolen away unawares of me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with a sword. Wherefore did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and did not tell me? Then I might have sent you away with mirth and with songs, with tablet and with harp. Has not suffered me to kiss my sons and daughters that you have not done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spake unto me yesterday night, saying, take your heed that you speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Laban the crook, he got scared. He knew that God had been blessing Jacob. He wasn't about to cross that. But then he said, and now though your wood needs to be gone because your sore longs after your father's house, yet wherefore have you stolen my gods? And Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid. For I said, peradventure you would take by force your daughters from me. With whomsoever you find your gods, let him not live. Before our brethren, discern you what is yours with me. Take it to you. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. He was unaware of that. Now Jacob was in the corner. Laban had men with him. They were armed. Jacob did not have that many armed men. And he simply knew that I could lose my life here. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, into Leah's tent, into the two maidservants' tents, but he found them not. Then when he out of Leah's tent and into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images, put them in the camel's furniture, his elaborate saddle there, the big saddle he had on the camels, and she sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. And she said to her father, let it not displease my lord, that I can arise before you, for the custom of women is upon me. She had a monthly period. And he searched, but found not the images. Here's Rachel now lying, sitting on the stuff, and just shining her dad off. Now, Jacob is rallying there. Laban has been all over his camp, looked everywhere, found no house gods, and now Laban is going to have payday. It's going to be payback here now. And he simply said this, and Jacob was wroth and showed with Laban to Laban and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued after me? Whereas you have searched all my stuff, what have you found of all your household stuff? See it here before my brethren and your brethren, that you may judge betwixt us both. This 20 years have been with you. The eaves and your goats have not cast their young, and the rams of your flock have not eaten. That which you torn a beast I brought unto you, I bear the loss of it. And my hands did not, let me get back here, did not require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in a day, the drought consumed me, the frost by night, my sheep departed from my eyes. Thus I have been 20 years in your house. I served you 14 years for your 2 daughters, 6 years for your cattle, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the God and the fear of Isaac have been with me. Surely you have sent me away, not empty. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you yesterday night. And then Laban answered and said, all right, I will let you go and you can have what you have. And he wanted to make a covenant. Verse 44. Let's read 43. And Laban answered and said to Jacob, these daughters are my daughters. These children are my children. These cattle are my cattle. and all that you see is mine. And what can I do this day unto these, my daughters, or to their children, which they have born? Now therefore, come you, let us make a covenant, I and you, and let it be for a witness between me and you. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And Jacob took a stone, and Jacob said to his brethren, gather stones, and he took stones and made a heap, and they did eat there upon the heap. And Laban called it Yigar Sahadutha, but Jacob called it Galeed. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between me and you this day. Therefore is the name of it called Galeed. And Mizpah, for he said, the Lord watch between me and you, will be absent one from another. If you shall afflict my daughters, or if you shall take out a wife beside my daughters, no man is with us. See, God is witness betwixt you, me and you. And Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap, behold this pillar which I cast betwixt me and you. This heap be witness, this pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to you, that you shall not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. In other words, he said, you put a border here. You will not cross over, I will not cross over. We will not have any war. We will not harm one another. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge betwixt us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. And Jacob offered sacrifice at the mount and called his brethren to eat bread. They did eat and tarried all night in the mount. And early in the morning, Laban rose up, kissed his sons and his daughters, and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned unto his place. The name for Laban is Glorious. Bethuel, his father, named him Glorious. There was nothing glorious about Laban. And this last verse is really a sad verse. And early in the morning, Laban rose up, kissed his sons and his daughters, and blessed them, and departed, and returned unto his place, and he faded into history, never to be heard of again. Most likely, he was not saved. At this point, he was not saved. If God dealt with him later, the Bible doesn't tell us. But Laban, a man of wealth, a brother to Rebekah, the wife of Isaac, he could have been part of God's kingdom. But he faded away, never be heard of again. And in my thinking, fantasizing, this is not in the Bible now, I can just see Laban today in hell. I can see him there shackled. And the Bible does tell us that those that are in hell, they can't see into paradise. They can see what happens in heaven. And I can see him in that place, watching Jacob in heaven. And then wringing his hand and saying, was I ever stupid? What did I think? I got some more cattle. I got some more of this. My cattle is gone. My body has rotted. My soul is in hell. I'm in pain. I have no future. My future is in the lake of fire. What in the world did I think? You know what? Other people around are going to say, Laban, you stupid dummy. You deserve what you got. You were with a man that had met the real God. You knew what was truth, and you walked away from it. Jacob had some more to go. We're going to talk about it next Sunday. But I want to talk to you that are watching right now, you so you're here. Have you ever considered this? What are you doing with your life? Are you consumed about the food for today, the job for tomorrow, cars, houses, things, marriages? Is that what you're living for? Or are you simply consumed about to please God? You know, Jesus said, seek ye the kingdom of God first, and all these things shall be added unto you. He didn't say, think ye all these things first, and then we will add the kingdom to you. You seek the kingdom first, and then all these things will be added to you. We have looked at two men here today. We looked at Jacob, the crook, Laban, the crook. But Jacob decided, I left the promised land and went to slavery. I'm going back. I'm repenting. I'm going back into the promised land. Laban simply said, I want nothing to do with the promised land. He could have said, Jacob, can I go with you? Can I be your servant? Can we work together? Instead, he said, we're going to put up a fence here, a boundary, a heap of stones. You don't come this way, I don't go that way. The most foolish man in the world, Laban. He knew about the flood. He knew about Enoch. He knew about the creation. He knew all the things that had been passed on to him. But he simply said, I don't care. I have a statement here on the end of the outline, which says this. Remember, it's not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. You and I are on our journey now. We're not finished yet on this earth. And God is simply looking to us. And how are you going to finish your life? Years ago, I decided how to finish my life. And I've been on that path. At the age of 40, God spoke to me one night and simply said this to me, and I said it before, but I say it again here today. How do you want to leave the earth? Do you want to walk out, or do you want them to roll you in a wheelchair? I said, Lord, I don't want a wheelchair. He said, then you have to exercise. You have to do with your body all the time. You have to exercise if you want to walk out and not be in a wheelchair. He also showed me this. If I want to walk out in victory, I got to stick close to Jesus Christ. And I made a decision many years ago. And made a pact. I was about 6 months old in Christ. And I said, this God, if I ever depart from your way, if I ever become a preacher of false doctrine, if I ever become ashamed to you, I want you to kill me. I do not want to live one day beyond that point. And I meant every word of what I said. And that's what I'm walking. I simply said, God, I don't want to be derided. I also knew years ago that you got to have accountability. And I made a decision that I will never go any place without my wife or without somebody with me. And there have been many occasions where someone had tried to trap me, and it didn't work. I also noticed that I need buddies. I need some people that are not yes men. People that are willing to stand up and say, you are wrong, to hold me accountable. I made plans how I'm going to work out. Have you made plans? Do you have something set in place? Or are you just like a boat with no oars and no sail, just drifting, hoping that something good will happen? It's a disaster. I urge you today to think about the message today. It might not be the best ever produced, but I want you to think about this. Do I have a plan? Not for the next 6 months, but for the next 40 years, 50 years, whatever it is, that when I come to the end and I hear the call, it is time for me to fly, that I can say, I have finished. I did it. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you right now that you left these examples in your Bible. That, Father God, we can see the choices people made in the past. We can see the ramification. Those who made good decisions were blessed. Those who made bad decisions were cursed and ended up as losers. And I pray right now, Father God, for those that are watching, that, Lord, if there's anyone today who is not saved, that you will save them. If there's anyone that heard me today that is pricked and said, I don't really have a plan in my life, that they sit down and make a plan how to finish. And I thank you for that. And if you're watching me right now, and you're saying this, I want to be saved. How? Listen. All you have to do is to say right now, I believe in God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe that Jesus rose from the cross, and through his death and resurrection I can be saved. Jesus, come on in, Jesus. Come on in, Jesus, in my life. Save me right now. And my Heavenly Father, forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me. And I thank you, Lord, for saving me right now. If you cried it out, he saved you right now. Call us, write us. Let us please help you to grow in Jesus' name. If you want to recommit your life today, you said I don't have a plan. Make that plan. I have counselors standing by. There'll be a phone number in a little while to be available for you to call. You can email us during the week. Contact us. And we will help you in every way. May God bless you as you come. The altars are open. The elders are here. If you're here today in this congregation, maybe you're sick. Maybe you need to be anointed. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you have a need. Maybe God has called you to something. Come and let them pray for you in Jesus' name.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood, so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation, who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You have been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the 23rd part in the series, The Epistle to the Hebrews, and was entitled, Running from Slavery. Jacob ran away from his problems in the land of Canaan to rebuild his life. But Laban was a crafty man who got Jacob into even more trouble by first marrying off Leah, and then Rachel in return for 14 years of service. Jacob continued his folly by using their two female slaves as concubines, and these four women became the mothers of the men who would one day become the heads of the tribes of Israel. Jacob served his time and left Laban with his large family and an equally large herd of cattle, angry at the man who had stolen so much time from him. Jacob's life shows human weakness, divine intervention, and how God will turn all things around for good to those that love him. Jacob never became perfect before the Lord, but God slowly changed him into the man he wanted him to be. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1378. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.